Step by step, day by day. And Scott Stapp, that guy from Creed. Did you know that every Creed song was based on an ep? A step by step. You probably didn't, so now shut up and learn. It's time for Step by Stapp.
Hey everybody, welcome to Step by Stapp. A very special Step by Stapp. This is a holiday episode, holiday special, you could call it, of the podcast, because we're approaching that time of year, Rob. Rob's here.
Hey!
And I'm here, and I'm Chris.
Yep, Hanukkah just passed, and we are waiting on Christmas.
Hanukkah blew by us, it's gone, and now Christmas is just coming up ahead. It's an exciting time of year. I always love doing a holiday special podcast this time of year. That's always fun. We always do something really big and kind of extra, you might say.
Yeah. Usually have a plan or don't have a plan. We either have like an event. I think one year we like went to a Zoom party.
Yeah. So what happens usually is we don't have a plan, and then things happen to us that kind of, In retrospect, at the time, I think nothing of it, but in retrospect, the events that kind of happened to us on the holiday special end up corresponding roughly to a Christmas movie in some way. That has happened to date every year that we've been podcasting, as far as I can remember, to the point that it's getting weird, and also we're running out of events to happen to us to correspond to Christmas movies. It's because we're running out of Christmas movies.
Well, it happens spontaneously, right? Like, it just happens that episode ends up being, you know, life imitating art.
Yeah. It's weird how life works out, but that's Christmas time for you. And I'm kind of excited to do this episode because you've said you have something planned this year.
Yeah.
Which is
great.
Yeah,
this year. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it is great. You're going to love it. You're really, it's like my Christmas gift to you.
To the listeners or to me?
Oh, I'm all of you, really. I think.
Oh, cool.
Especially you, though, Chris, because I know. Oh. Like, you've been really encouraging me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've given a lot of really constructive feedback in the past.
To you? I have?
Me? Yeah. To me. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. I guess so. I don't really remember doing that, but you mean like about about what, about podcasting or
no,
where I'm like, hey, sit like, closer to the microphone and stuff like that.
I mean, right now or like
turn
just
your noise gate off and
okay, well, hey, hang on, we talked about that before we got
you
on.
Know, send me your file in a kind of in a prompt manner so I don't have to wait around for it, stuff like that. Is that what you mean?
I mean, yeah. I mean, look, I don't know if you've actually given me so much feedback on, you know, turning around the files faster, more than just kind of like, hey man, it's been a while, can you send it? I really want to get started on this,
right?
At least it's tomorrow and we're running out of time.
Yeah, that's not the kind of constructive feedback you're talking about.
No, because like I don't, you know, I'm just like, ah, whatever, he's got time, I'll send it to him later. It's I'm busy.
Oh, okay.
Plus, like, this computer's such a piece of shit. It takes so long to do anything on it.
Yeah. Well, and there's another piece of constructive feedback. Maybe it's time to switch computers to one that can keep up. But
so, speaking of this computer, the keyboard also, like, tends to, like, double tap a bunch of letters. That's not user error. That's, like, that's an issue with the machine. So, what I'm about to send to you is going to have kind of, like, just excuse the typos is my point.
Typos? You're sending me something?
Yeah. You'll have it in your inbox any second now. I mean, it could take a minute. Yeah. I don't know. It depends on the computer.
You're sending me, and this is related to the podcast that we're doing tonight? The Christmas episode?
Yeah, I prepared something for the Christmas episode, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Have you seen like any, like, you remember like all the Christmas specials that be on when we were kids, like all those like half hour specials on broadcast television? You got like Rudolph, and then there would be Frosty.
Sure.
And then there would always be like, and there would always be like Peanuts as well, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. The Charlie Brown Christmas special, I believe it's called A Charlie Brown Christmas, is like the famous one from the 60s.
Yeah, exactly. And like the 60s were a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
Like the world's changed since then. Like abortion wasn't legal yet.
Okay.
Isn't legal again.
Right. What is that?
Civil unrest in the black community.
Sorry, what does this have to do with Charlie Brown? And
oh, I'm just saying it's kind of outdated, don't you think?
The holiday special, the Charlie Brown holiday special specifically?
Yeah. That one's, well, kind of like all the Peanuts ones, and I'm working my way through it, but
yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess it's outdated. I haven't
really. Garfield is outdated as far as I'm concerned as well. I'm working on that.
All right. What do you mean you're working on that?
Oh, I'm rewriting all of them for the modern age.
Oh, no. All right. Now I know what's arriving in my inbox, and here it is. Fuck. This is what you planned? When you said, I have a plan for the holiday special, don't worry about a thing, I've got it covered. This is what you meant? You wrote another screenplay, an original screenplay?
Well, I mean,
and you want us to read it on air, I assume?
It wouldn't hurt. I do think that, like, listen, do you remember Peanuts?
Yes, of course. I watch it every year. I like that one.
Oh, you like that one?
Well, it's got, to your point, it hasn't aged like great because
sure
of just it being from the 60s, but there are things I really like. I like the music in it.
Yep.
And that's probably about it.
Well, guess what? We're not touching the music.
Oh, okay. So you've left the music.
We'll keep the music.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
But, you know, I've...
But hold on. So wait. So you wrote a fucking... So I know how this goes, Rob, and the listeners know how this goes. You've written a screenplay. You will make me read it with you on the podcast.
I'd like your feedback.
Yeah, you're going to say you want feedback. You're not going to like any of my feedback because I'm going to not like the screenplay because it's going to suck.
You don't know. You it's don't know to, that no, yet.
I do. We've done this
you
like
don't
four
know
or five
that yet.
Times. Okay, I don't know that yet
okay.
for this time, but for every other time that we've done this, and we've done it now four or five times, the thing you've written has made no sense. It has been,
okay.
A lot of them have been full of just advertisements for different products that you want to be pushing at any given time, like Raymour and Flanagan and Aeropostale was the last one. Everything was about Aeropostale. It was like basically a big commercial.
That was not a commercial for Aeropostale. They just kept going there.
And they kept going there talking about how great it was and the deals that they were getting.
Right.
I don't even want to go back into those. The other thing that you always do is you throw in like random characters from pop culture that don't belong in the thing that you call fan fiction or whatever. But those two things tend to be what happens when we read your screenplays. I'm so mad because I have no other plan for tonight, so I think we have to do this now.
So, hang on. So, like, a couple of things here, right? Like, what's one of the big lessons of a Charlie Brown Christmas?
I guess it's like... So, what I remember is that Charlie Brown keeps complaining about the kind of commercialization of Christmas.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So right. You think I'm going to throw a bunch of advertisements into this?
Okay. I see. Yeah. Well,
Shame right.
So if you're keeping true to the original and it's kind of almost like a backlash to that kind of over commercializing of the holiday, then okay. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm keeping the original score.
Yeah. And you're keeping the score. Okay. So maybe, all right. Maybe I've been harsh, Rob. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
It's Christmas. I'm going to give you a chance here.
And like, this is all canon, right? Like, not just, you know, the original characters are going to be there.
You have, right. The original characters are going to be there and you're treating this as canon. So, okay. I'm sorry,
this
Rob.
This is just a modernization of a classic.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Okay? I came out of the gate a little hot. I apologize for that.
Thank you.
It's Christmas. Let's read this and maybe it'll be good. Maybe it will be better than the original. And then we can try to get this actually made. And then we can like...
That's high praise.
I'm saying maybe.
No,
I haven't read it yet, but that would be amazing.
We had that recorded better than the original.
Yeah,
That's an ellipses quote I can attribute to you.
It is. If you were to do that, it would be missing some critical context. That being that I have not watched it or read it yet. And the thing I said before those words were, maybe it will be better than
the original. Yeah, so I think I'm going to start that quote off with, I have ... watched it.
Okay. You're just getting very creative now with ellipses.
... better than the original. Yeah, like, all right. That's all I need from you, right? With a dash, Chris McCarthy.
Okay. Well, why don't we just get into this and we'll see. We'll all see. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. We've got, it's called, I've got it up on the screen, A Charlie Brown Christmas Reloaded. Okay. And then you've sent me, now I see, along with this, you've sent me a Spotify playlist of the music cues for the...
Yeah. Since you're doing the recording, if you can kind of like cue those up just like at the right time.
Yeah. Let me do that.
I didn't like edit it to like time it all out. I don't know how fast or slow you're going to read your lines. So.
Sure. Okay. So I'm going to read the scene description like I normally do. Mm-hmm. And then we can just kind of divide the characters up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I'm going to click play on the first track. Charlie Brown, 8, and Linus, also 8, carrying a blanket and sucking his thumb, walk down a snow-covered path as snow falls around them in big flakes. Jazzy piano Christmas music plays in the background. Okay, so far so good. Charlie Brown, I'll be Charlie Brown, I guess. And you can be...
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking... but that's cool. Yeah, this is my gift to you. You can play Charlie Brown.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Gee, Linus, I think there must be something wrong with me. Christmas time is here, but I'm not happy. I don't know why. I just don't feel like I'm supposed to feel. I guess I just don't understand Christmas. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating the tree, but I still end up depressed. Linus lights a cigar. He waves the smoke out of his face.
Charlie Brown, you're a miserable fuck, you know that? Leave it to you to turn Christmas, the merriest time of year, into a big fucking problem.
All right, I'm sorry, Rob, to do this to you, but I'm gonna have to stop this.
What?
Hey, so, all right, off the bat... I mean, I don't know why I thought this would be any different. But so Linus is 8.
Yeah.
Right? They're both 8. They're both little boys. Okay. He's.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah,
you've described him as carrying a blanket and sucking his thumb, like the character Linus, the little boy who's still holding a blanket for comfort and sucking his thumb. Okay.
Right.
Then it says he lights a cigar. And then the it says Linus, his first line, you've got in parentheses, in a thick New Jersey accent, and now he's dropping F-bombs left and right? This is your revitalization of Charlie Brown?
Do you think that like, well, first of all, we don't know where Linus is from. I don't even know where these guys live. Where do the Peanuts live?
Don't have New Jersey accents. I know that much.
Do you think that a New Jersey child doesn't have a thick New Jersey accent?
No, I'm saying the characters from Peanuts do not. Traditionally.
Okay. Well, I really wanted this role to go to, what's his name? Walnuts.
Pauly Walnuts from The Sopranos?
Yeah, Pauly Walnuts. I really wanted this role to go to Pauly Walnuts, yeah.
Okay, well...
Kind of wrote it for him.
So Tony Sirico is who you're talking about from The Sopranos. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
He is dead.
Stop it.
Yeah.
When?
He died not recently.
Okay.
Years ago. I also have some breaking news for you, Rob.
What about Tony Soprano? Is he available?
Tony Soprano, do you mean James Gandolfini?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He died 10 years ago. So,
what are you talking about?
Okay,
years ago.
Have you just started watching The Sopranos? Is that what happened? Like, you're just getting into it now, and you're like, you haven't been following what happened to these actors?
Yeah, I'm like three episodes in.
Got it. Okay. So that's fine. Those guys are dead. That doesn't change this. This is still what it is. And I do have some breaking news for you, Rob. Like I mentioned, I got a text from your wife. She says, can you please tell my husband to shut the door to his office? He's keeping us all awake.
All right. As my gift to her, I will go shut the door. Okay.
That's very nice of you.
She's heard me rehearsing this too, so she's probably sick of it.
Right, right, right. She's probably very, very... I also think it's funny that she texted me and not you, knowing that you wouldn't be looking at your phone.
Yeah, that's actually really funny because I don't think I have a single text from her. Let me see. Oh, no, I did get a text from her, and then I didn't answer for 2 minutes, so she texted me.
Okay, so I was the... Yes, got it. All right. Okay, Rob, so... Fine. We're going to go through with this... So we'll just pick up from where your character's last line was a big fucking problem. Okay. Back to me, mm-hmm. Charlie Brown.
Great.
Christmas is just so commercialized now. It's like we've forgotten the true meaning of the holiday. Don't you think?
You ever thought about jumping in front of a fucking train?
Jesus. The two continue walking and come upon an outdoor skating rink. Children of all ages enjoy skating on the frozen pond. Charlie Brown's dog, Snoopy, also skates with the children. He is remarkably good for a dog. Linus can't believe his eyes.
Jesus Christ, your dog ice skates?
Oh, yeah, I guess. But you'd know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes you think you should be feeling happy, but you're not.
Your fucking dog can ice skate!
Snoopy does a triple Lutz and lands gracefully. The children skating around him are unfazed.
What the fuck? You gotta get this dog on America's Got Talents. Nick Cannon's gonna lose his fucking mind when he sees this shit.
Lucy, 8, whistles to get Charlie and Linus's attention. She sits behind a makeshift stand with a sign reading Psychiatric Help 5 Cents. That's from the original.
I haven't really thought about inflation here, I guess. Yeah, she could probably charge more now.
Okay, yeah, probably. Hey, Charlie Brown. Hey, Linus. Can I interest either of you in a therapy session for 5 cents? Feeling upset about anything lately? You know what, Lucy? I actually have been a little depressed since the Christmas season began. This year. Couldn't hurt to...
Nah, fuck that! Let's go down to the club.
Cut to interior strip club day. Okay. Charlie Brown and Linus sit at the smoke-filled bar. Strippers dance around them as Linus counts stacks of money.
I can't believe the fucking Giants covered the spread last week.
Do you think we should maybe put on Christmas carols in here? Maybe it will help me get in the spirit of the season.
Christmas carols? Just sit there and shut the fuck up while I count, making me lose my fucking concentration over here.
Pigpen, 8, a cloud of dust surrounding him, enters and walks past the bar. Hi, Charlie Brown. Hi, Linus.
Hey, get over here, you smelly little fuck.
What?
You heard me, you fucking piece of shit!
Linus grabs Pigpen by the shirt and pins him against the wall. Ow.
Where's my fucking money, you prick?
What money?
You don't remember, huh? That's funny.
You mean the 10 cents you gave me for a banana in the school cafeteria the other day?
Oh, so you do remember. Where's my money, fuckface?
I'm sorry, Linus. I don't have anything on me. When I get home later, I can check my piggy bank. It's only 10 cents.
You're right, Pigpen. You're right. It's only 10 cents.
Linus picks up a nearby beer bottle and smashes it over Pigpen's head.
You know what's going to be more than 10 cents? Your fucking hospital bill after I beat the shit out of you.
Okay, I'll go get it now. Pigpen runs out of the strip club.
That's right. Get your dusty ass out of here. And by the way, it's 11 cents now with interest, you fat fuck.
Linus wipes his brow with his blankie and sucks his thumb. This is Charlie Brown now. Gee whiz, Linus, I forgot I'm supposed to pick up the Christmas tree for the school play tonight.
Fuck me.
End scene. All right. Okay, do you want feedback like throughout, or should I hold it to the end?
I'll take it if you got it. I mean, I think this sets up pretty well what Charlie Brown's, you know, problem is.
Oh, it does. Yes. So that is actually something that is also from the original, is Charlie Brown has to pick out a Christmas tree for the play.
And he's generally, you know, kind of blue.
Sure. Yeah. And he's upset about Christmas. He's feeling sad about Christmas. That's also from the original, almost verbatim. And then in the middle of that, you've got this like very Sopranos-esque kind of character, but like way more overbearing even than I would say the characters on The Sopranos, who are a little more subdued even. This guy's like at a 10, like Linus, 8-year-old Linus, who still has his blankie and sucks his thumb, is at a absolute 10 at every moment. And he's threatening to kill Pigpen for 10 cents.
Listen, I just wanted to give Linus a little, like, Linus is just like, he's always there. He's just like, kind of says some things. And I don't know, I just tried to make Linus a little edgier, you know, try to give this a little bit more grit.
Yeah. No,
right? Make it more relatable.
Yeah. No, I've noticed that. I've noticed the grit. Also, they're 8 and they're just in a strip club. No one seems to notice that. And Pigpen, why is Pigpen there? He's just walking by. Why are all these kids at the strip club in the middle of the day?
Listen, this is just like, it's a different world. Like, Peanuts isn't real. It's not reality.
I know. Yeah, I know that.
Right? Who sends out a child to go buy a Christmas tree?
All right. Fine.
Is that fair?
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yes. All right, so let's just move on. We'll get to the next thing. But I will say, though, in your defense, you have refrained from throwing in like completely unwarranted, you know, commercials here for products. So good on you there.
Well, the whole thing is like the whole commercialization of Christmas.
Right.
Is kind
exactly.
Of
the answer, I was a little unsure whether you were actually going to stick to that, to be honest. But good. Good for you. Okay. Exterior, Christmas tree lot day. Jazzy piano Christmas music plays again as Charlie Brown and Linus walk through the tree lot. Okay, Charlie Brown. Wow, so many fake trees here at this tree lot. Doesn't anyone put up a real Christmas tree anymore? Linus talks into his cell phone.
Yeah, well, you tell Cousin Louie if he wants to keep running his fucking mouth all over town, I'm going to shut down his fucking construction job and he can go cry to little Tino, see how much fucking sympathy he gets.
He hangs up.
You believe the shit I got to deal with?
It just feels like Christmas keeps getting more and more commercial. Fake trees, advertisements everywhere you look. Is that what Christmas is all about? Advertisements?
Yeah, it's outrageous. Listen, have you tried the new Smoky Buffalo Chicken Melt at Panera Bread?
The new Smoky Buffalo Chicken Melt at Panera Bread? No, I haven't.
Oh, you gotta try the new Smoky Buffalo Chicken Melt at Panera Bread. It's delicious. And it's only 830 calories.
Really? The new Smoky Buffalo Chicken Melt at Panera Bread is only 830 calories?
Did I fucking stutter? The new Smoky Buffalo Chicken Melt at Panera Bread is only 830 calories.
And it's delicious?
Yes. The new Smoky Buffalo Chicken Melt at Panera Bread is delicious.
Charlie Brown stops in front of a small, frail-looking Christmas tree. Hold on. So, that was a Panera Bread commercial. Just in the middle, and a pretty targeted one, specifically to one sandwich. But that's an ad, Rob. That's an ad.
That's casual. That's casual conversation.
That's casual conversation. This is not sponsored by Panera Bread or anything.
No, not yet.
Not yet. You've reached out to them.
No.
Really?
No.
Are you sure?
No, not really.
You haven't sent them an email with this and are waiting to hear back? Or maybe they have gotten back to you and you didn't like the answer and now you're trying again?
Maybe let's say I have several opportunities there. Maybe I sent them a script that had Subway in it, and just to make them think that I had options.
Oh,
and maybe
to threaten
Subway
them.
Was interested.
Got it.
You know, and I just send it to Panera Bread and I say, "Hey, Subway, how's Jared? Thank you for your consideration. Here's a second draft. Per your feedback, and you know, just kind of see how Panera Bread reacts to that."
Wait, you sent that email to Panera Bread? And tried to make them think that you accidentally were sending it to them and you meant to send it to Subway. And then you were like, oh, wait, sorry. Wrong email address.
Oh, wait, sorry. Wrong email. Please disregard everything you see. And I have the little email signature that says, if you receive this in error,
right,
you know, you can't do anything with it and blah, blah, blah.
Okay. That, and so in your mind, you're thinking that the Panera Bread people are going to get scared that maybe this thing, which is so good, is going to get made and Subway's going to be in it instead of them, and then they're going to jump on it. That's what you're hoping will happen?
That's largely the play that I'm making,
okay.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake. Okay.
So I did the same thing. I sent the Panera email to the Subway guys.
Yeah, of course.
I sent
the
Tim Hortons email to the Dunkin' Donuts guys.
Right. And you've just subbed in like those sandwiches, like different sandwiches at every one of those establishments in this script. You have like five versions of this.
Yeah, I mean, sure, let's go with five.
You have way more than five, it sounds like.
I mean, how many companies are there that are willing to spend money on sponsoring this, right?
Okay, so just any company?
Not even just fast food places? No, not just fast food. I mean, you know, I'm not listing sandwiches for Reebok, but, you know.
Oh, so you'd be like, have you tried the new Reebok sneakers? That's the conversation for Reebok?
They're only 830 calories.
They're only 800, okay. All right. Charlie Brown stops in front of a small, frail-looking Christmas tree. Wait, what about this tree?
Looks like shit. What about it?
I don't think it's so bad. Once we decorate it, this tree could be just right for the big Christmas play.
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Let's take this party to Panera Bread. End scene. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can't believe you talked me into reading this. I cannot believe I fell for it again. And on Christmas, Rob. I'm not happy about this. And there's more. There's apparently a lot more. We're only halfway through.
Well, it's only the second act, right? I mean...
Yeah, all right. Okay, this is the next music cue. Okay, interior Christmas play. Night. Oh, we've cut right to the play. Great. School children stand around backstage dressed in their Christmas pageant costumes. Charlie Brown and Linus enter with the Christmas tree. Hey everyone, check out the Christmas tree I picked out. Charlie Brown sets the Christmas tree down. Lucy approaches. Charlie Brown, that has to be the ugliest tree I've ever seen in my whole life.
What the fuck did you just say to my friend?
I said Charlie Brown is a real blockhead.
A blockhead, huh? How do you like to have a block tied to your fucking shoes before one of my associates throws your good-for-nothing ass into the fucking East River?
Lucy rolls her eyes. Oh, fuck you, Linus, you useless dipshit.
Fuck me? Fuck you!
No, fuck you.
No, fuck you.
No, fuck you.
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 Guys, stop fighting. This isn't what Christmas is all about.
Oh, yeah? Well, then what is Christmas all about, smart guy?
Christmas isn't about real trees or fake trees or buying nice things. It's about the things that truly matter in life. And I just discovered today what truly matters in life. when I joined Panera Bread's Unlimited Sips Club.
You know what? He's right.
Sally steps forward. What's the Unlimited Sips Club? And what does that have to do with Christmas?
Great question, Sally. With the Unlimited Sips Club, you enjoy monthly access to 25-plus drinks, including hot and iced coffees, hot and iced teas, and fountain beverages.
Don't forget about Sip Club Saturdays.
How could I forget? Sip Club Saturday is an offer exclusive to Unlimited Sips Club monthly and annual subscribers. On select Saturdays, subscribers will have an exclusive offer loaded to their My Panera account, redeemable for that Saturday only. During Sip Club Saturday and every day, Unlimited Sip Club members enjoy endless drinks, including coffee, lemonades, teas, and self-serve fountain beverages.
Rob.
What?
What the fuck, man? Like, you just... Did you just copy this from the Panera Bread website? Like, that was a mouthful. That was that's ad copy. That's all that was.
I did the same thing with Starbucks, where you go through and you read how you can like earn Delta points.
Oh my god!
Yeah, just really trying to lock these guys down.
Yeah. Okay, Charlie Brown, and the best part, it's only $11.99 a month. Plus, if you join now, you'll actually get 2 months free. Sally is humbled. Wow, I guess I never thought of it that way before. The children all gather around the tree. When they step away, it is immaculately decorated. This is Lucy. You know what, Charlie Brown? This isn't such a bad tree after all.
Yeah, no shit.
Thanks for teaching us all about the true meaning of Christmas. They hold hands and sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.
Okay.
The end.
This is the end. Mm-hmm. Okay. However, I do see that there are more pages.
Yeah. So, there's a... All the great shows have, you know, like credits rolling and then you kind of see something to the double box kind of view.
So now this says post-credits sequence. So now you're doing like a Marvel thing where there's a post-credits sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And surprise, surprise, interior Panera Bread day. Charlie Brown and Linus sit at a booth perusing their menus. Linus flips through pages on the tabletop jukebox. He selects a song. Okay. I think I see what you're doing here. Charlie Brown sips his coffee. Note, he has unlimited sips. Not such a bad Christmas, isn't that right, Linus?
I guess it wasn't too bad. Here's to another year.
They clink coffee mugs together. Suddenly, the door swings open and Pigpen enters. Hey, Linus.
What the fuck do you want?
Pigpen reveals he is holding a gun.
It's gonna take a little more than that little water pistol to scare me, Shipbreath.
That's why I brought backup. Come on in, boys. The Ninja Turtles enter, each carrying a machine gun?
Oh, fuck.
Pigpen aims at Linus. Fire at will. Pigpen and the Ninja Turtles open fire and proceed to shoot thousands of bullets at Linus, completely decimating him as he sits in the booth. It's like the opening scene of RoboCop, where RoboCop, before he becomes RoboCop, gets killed. Linus falls to the floor dead. Charlie Brown peeks his head up from under the booth. Good grief. RoboCop enters.
You said it, kid.
Everyone laughs. Freeze frame. The end. Okay. And that's the actual end.
Yeah, that's the actual end.
All right. Rob.
And you can see I'm not tied to Panera for this, right? Like, this could easily be...
No, I could see that. Yeah. You've made that clear. This could be Subway. This could be anywhere.
Sure. Costco. Food Mart.
Costco. They're just in the food court at Costco. Yeah, in this. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. IKEA, even.
Sure. Yeah. Swap it out with Swedish meatballs. And
They could be eating Swedish meatballs and like $1 hot dogs.
Yeah. And the whole time it could be, you know, promoting like a couch, right? Or like a dresser.
Right. Yeah. Or like a whole living room set, maybe.
Sure. Something. Yeah. This is
fencing. Why am I getting into this with you? Jesus. This sucks, Rob.
What?
Why do you keep doing this?
What do you mean? Come on.
Why?
This had everything. This had. You know, for everyone. It was relatable. It had, you know, some of your favorite characters. It had murder. It had berating.
It did at the end. Really, really kind of like gruesome murder at the end. So first of all, I'm very unclear on the message. You've said it has a message that everyone can relate to. The message at first appeared to be very similar to the original Charlie Brown Christmas special, which is kind of that anti-commercialism where Charlie Brown is like, and this was the 60s, and he was like, wow, there's too many ads, and they've taken the meaning of Christmas away. Mm-hmm. That, and you kind of started on that path, and then you went right, for a specific ad, and you didn't let go, and you made the entire thing, including the meaning of Christmas in this, is that you should join the Unlimited Sips Club at Panera Bread? That's the takeaway? That's the meaning of Christmas?
It's one commercial, not like 9 billion commercials, the way that, like, you know, the commercialization of Christmas has been. I don't need to get, you know, a new phone from AT&T for Christmas. That's a terrible gift. Or like Mother's Day or whatever.
Okay, so your point is that it's actually anti-commercialism because it is only one commercial.
Only one commercial. That's right. Only one commercial. Right.
Okay. But it's really leaning into that one to the point that it's basically saying the meaning of Christmas is that you should buy this product. You should do this thing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And you think that's in the spirit of the original? Listen. I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I just think it's not good. I think this is bad writing. I think it's very kind of first, and it didn't have to be long because the original Charlie Brown special is only like 24 minutes, and they do all of this. You almost have it. By the way, you almost have that full end to end thing. You've got Charlie Brown. He's sad on Christmas. Mm-hmm. He has to get the tree. He gets the tree. No one likes it. Then they decorate it. Then they like it. And then they all kind of realize what Christmas is about. You have all of the parts are there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
But in the middle, you've got a really kind of bargain bin Sopranos thing happening.
Okay. Easy on bargain bin. I mean, you informed me that they're dead, but I was trying to get them.
But even if you were to get, let's say you somehow, for some reason, got Tony Sirico, who played Polly Walnuts, to be the voice of Linus, the 8-year-old boy.
Oh, did I not mention this is live action?
Okay, no, you did not mention that. No.
Yeah, we were going to dress Tony Sirico up as an 8-year-old boy.
Okay, so, and he, by the way, died at like 90 years old. So he was...
Stop it.
Yeah, he was very old when he died. He was like 70 in The Sopranos, and that was 20-something years ago.
Well, look, I saw like the first 8 minutes of The Irishman, and I was like, wow, look at that aging down technology. It's so good when you see him try to step off a curb.
So you were going to de-age Tony Sirico to be the age of 8, to be Linus.
Yeah, but we wouldn't de-age the voice, though. You want the voice to stay, right?
Sure. Well, hey, they didn't do it for Indiana Jones. Why
start now? Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so, but then the rest of the cast, I have to say, came off, like I said in the beginning, they were kind of like straight down the middle Peanuts characters. So those would be children.
Right.
And then, but among the children who you've cast, who are played by children, you've got a de-aged Polly Walnuts.
Yeah. He's the isn't it obvious that he's the star of this entire thing?
Yes, that's very obvious that he's the star. He has by far the most lines. He's got monologues. He's fucking killing people.
Well, he doesn't kill anybody, all right? Linus does.
Okay.
Or not Linus.
No, yes, you're right. Pigpen kills him at the end.
Yeah, I always get Pigpen and Linus confused.
I also think it's kind of interesting that you've only seen 3 episodes of The Sopranos. You said the first 3.
Right.
And yet the final scene of this is very reminiscent of the final episode of The Sopranos, down to the music and the setting and the...
What?
That was coincidence?
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil anything for you, but you should watch it. It's great, by the way.
I've heard that like you don't really find out what happens at the end of The Sopranos, but that's all I know.
A little bit. Yeah, you kind of don't. But that it's there are several elements from that in this.
Are the Ninja Turtles there?
No. That aspect is you didn't know. That's not one of the aspects that you nailed.
Okay. That's fair. All right. I mean, to be that dead on would have been crazy.
That would have been crazy. Ever. And by the way, that's of course, that's your other hallmark besides putting a bunch of ads in your screenplays is you would just have random people and characters from other things doing crossovers. And this one, you waited till the very end, but the Ninja Turtles and RoboCop come in just because you referenced RoboCop. You're like, oh, this, I could tell what happened. Like you were, as you were writing it, you were like, oh, this is kind of like RoboCop. So then you wrote that just like RoboCop. You wrote that down. And then you were like, hey, what if RoboCop shows up now?
Well, you have to explain how like badly they murdered him, right? Like there's a reason they had to build RoboCop.
Right. And you're thinking, well, I'm writing in the scene description that it's like RoboCop. But what will really get the point across is if RoboCop
shows up. Yeah.
Shows up and validates that it's just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Except he doesn't. All he says is, Charlie Brown says, good grief. And he says, you said it, kid.
Yeah, that's it.
He doesn't reference anything like, oh, this is just like when I got shot.
Well, that'd be weird if he was just like, oh.
That would be weird?
Same, but different? Like, what's he going to do? He's going to come in and be like, wow, looks just like me when I got murdered.
Why not?
Let's make him into a RoboCop too. This 8-year-old boy.
I'm surprised actually you didn't put that in there. Or is that a sequel that's coming?
Listen, these are not final edits. I retain all creative rights.
Yeah.
And sure. I will incorporate your feedback if I think it's valid. And there's a couple things you said that I might consider.
Like what?
You know, maybe making a sequel.
No. Okay. You've misunderstood me. I did not say you should make a sequel. I said, I'm betting that you are planning a sequel based on what I know about you. Do not take that as an endorsement or a suggestion that you should move forward with writing a sequel to this.
It's not what I'm hearing.
Yeah, so I can tell that's not what you're hearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're I don't know what happened. Like I can't tear you down enough for you to stop doing this. There's nothing I could say. Because every time we do this, I go, Rob, that sucked. Don't do that again. That's bad. It was not good. It was bad. I say that. And then your takeaway is like, it was great. I did a great job. I'm going to do another one of these. I'm going to do more.
Yeah.
And bring them back onto the podcast where we'll have to read them.
But they say, you know, like 10,000 hours, right? Is what it takes to... Who said that? Malcolm something?
Becoming... Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, and it was proven to be, I think, factually incorrect. But
sure, because if you suck at something for 10,000 hours, you still suck at the end.
Right, yeah. But I do think that like practice makes better, and you know, sure. All of this
most
writing,
of the time,
and, yeah. I'd say this might be my best.
Rob, I do want to say, it's Christmas. It's the Christmas episode. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I don't want to end on like a sour note where I'm telling you that your shit is bad and it sucks and you shouldn't do it anymore, even though I do think all those things. I want to say that thank you for trying and thank you for bringing something to the table for the holiday special. I appreciate it. I appreciate you on Christmas. There.
It's very kind of you, Chris.
Yes, it is. It's very generous of me.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Almost taught me the true meaning of Christmas.
Did it?
Yeah, it's not about a screenplay that you pour your heart and soul into and then open yourself up to somebody and make yourself a little bit vulnerable. It's not about, you know, sending out 35 emails to Panera Bread a day. Just trying to get them to fund your movie where you want to age down Polly Walnuts into an 8-year-old boy. It's not about that. It's about spending time with those that you love. Even if they hate how they have to spend that time with you.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Like, no one wants to spend Christmas with their family.
No, certainly not most of them.
No. Right? But you have to.
You have to. Yeah. So I guess that is the, at the end of the day, that is the meaning of Christmas. It is begrudgingly seeing and spending time with family.
Yeah. And friends.
Yeah. And friends. Yeah. But mostly like family that you kind of don't see much. So you're like, well, we should see them. It's Christmas. And then you're like, fuck, why did I do this? Why did I do this?
I could have just like hung out with my friends and had a much better time.
Can't wait till this is over.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Yeah.
Right. And then the next year, you're like kind of excited to go see him again because you haven't seen him in a little while. And then you're like, fuck, yeah, like, why did I do that again? I could do this.
And then you get back and you're like, fuck, this is exactly the same as it was last year. They're all the same. All the fucking things I didn't like about them last year, they're still there.
They're still the same people. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That is the meaning of Christmas, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
there's only one thing left to do, I think. Well, I think there's a little song we got to play.
There is. First of all, I was going to ask, what podcast is this? Because I forgot. This is Step by Step.
This is Step by Step, my friend.
And we do have a tradition. We've carried it through our other podcasts. But we're back at the original podcast where we started this. And that tradition is to listen, as we close the Christmas episode, to our favorite, Rob and my favorite Christmas song of all time, by our favorite artist of all time, singing this song in a way that is just so beautiful and melodic and just on key.
Yep.
It's all really of those things.
Just such a crisp, clean sound to it, too.
It's great. It's not grating at all.
No.
It just is so smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a YouTube video.
Yes.
That we found that is, I mean, let's just come out and say it. It's our boy Scott Stapp singing White Christmas in Delray Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
Yep.
And it's an acoustic set, apparently, that he was doing, or maybe just this song. I don't know. It's
definitely unplugged.
It's an unplugged, yes. There's a guy playing guitar and just him singing away. And it really makes... when this happens, when I hear this, then it's Christmas.
Yeah. Christmas season doesn't start... Like, for some people, Christmas starts when Santa makes his appearance at the Macy's parade.
Sure, that's one of the things. But not for us.
No.
No.
No, not until it starts
when I hear this. And now we're going to share that with you, our listeners. And we just want to wish you all a happy holiday and enjoy it. And we'll see you next time on the podcast. And until then, we want to say, I'm Chris.
I'm Rob.
And we can't stab.
And we won't stab.
Except we will stab right now as we listen to Scott Stapp sing White Christmas. Bye.
Bye.
You ready?
Yeah.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the tree tops listen, and children listen to hear
sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming.